Okay, world, today's daf in Masechet Sota, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Chof Chet, and we had just finished the Mishnah yesterday, and in the Mishnah, we had learned that Kishem Shamayim Botkim Ota, Kacha Mayim Botkim Oto. I mean, we've been using, throwing around pronouns over here. Are we really quite sure we know who the Oto is? We got to think about that. Because, I mean, right afterwards, it says, Kishem she'asura le'ba'al, kach asura le'bo'el. She'nemar nitma v'nitma'a, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Now, over there, we didn't use any pronouns, right? So we spelled it out. If she's asura to the husband, so she's asura to the adulterer. But in the first part of the Mishnah, we didn't spell it out. I mean, if we want to talk about the adulterer, so we should say so. I mean, so there's something strange about the change between the use of a pronoun and the definition of the antecedent. So that's what the Gemara wants to understand now. Let's take a look at the bottom line of Chav Zayin Omid Beis, which is the beginning of the Gemara. So when we say, who is Oto? Oto is who? Laman. Is it the husband, perhaps? That way we can distinguish it from the way that we said afterwards, the boel. I mean, because usually we talk about a husband and wife. We talk about his and hers, you know, like the towels. So if the idea over here is that the mayim is bodek her, so the mayim is bodek him. So that would mean that the mayim would check out the baal, right? So if this baal is such a chutzpah yak, he's going to take his wife and make her drink the mayim amorim, and he himself had slept with her on the way to the Mayim HaMa'orim, so that would mean that the Mayim HaMa'orim would kill the husband. Maybe that's what it means. You know, if he wants to be Mr. Purity, so then he's going to suffer. Maybe that's what it means. But says the Gemara, that's not possible. Because the truth is that what? The E'it Be'avon Batki Le'Maya. So if he had slept with her on the way to Beis Din, then the water would have killed him. That's crazy. The water doesn't work unless he is himself pure of any avon. So how could it be that we would say the same way that the water is bodek her, it's bodek him, the water isn't even going to be bodek her? Because v'atanya v'nika ha'ish mi'avon, v'ha'isha hitisat avona, from that beautiful pasuk, that the man will be nika mi'avon, it would mean only bizman sha'ish minuka mi'avon amayim botkim et ishto. So only if, in fact, this man had not sinned, so then the water will work. But if he had, the water's not going to work at all. So is that even going to be bodek her? So it certainly can't mean that it's going to be bodek the husband. Now, by the way, there's a little piece over here that you might find confusing. And that is that Rashi learns that the meaning of the e'it be'avon means specifically sheba aleha la'acha shenistera. Now, that's not really true, because Rashi himself says later, and the Rambam spells out the halacha, that when we're talking about over here, that if the husband has any avon, the meaning of any avon means that if any time in his life he had ever had intercourse with someone that was illicit, the water is not going to work, because he cannot have a greater taina on his wife than on himself. Who is he to bring the Mayim HaMa'orim if he hasn't been able to stay clean in his life? What's he got against his wife? So the truth is that the only reason that Rashi, this is the way I understand it, some people learn this machlokas Rashi in the Rambam, which is, I think, ridiculous, because Rashi himself later on makes it clear that he agrees with the Rambam. The point over here is that we certainly do not expect that maybe the meaning of Kishem Shamayim Botkim Ota, Kach Hamayim Botkim Oto would mean that if this guy, when he was 15 years old, he had slept with someone that was illicit, and now 40 years later, he's bringing his wife to that then he's going to blow up. That's not what we think. What it means is Kishenika Ish Mi'avon in the context of Saita. That's what it means. That's what Rashi says. So maybe it means that if he had slept with her on the way to Beis Din, that then the mayim would have been bodek him. It can't mean that either, because Lamaisa, if he had done that, then the mayim would not even have been bodek Oto. But halakha lamaisa, the Rambam is accepted by Rashi. And that is that if he ever is not nikami oven at any point, so then the water wouldn't be by the two different issues of you, okay? Anyway, so what would it have to mean? Ve'ela leboel. So how are you going to explain who's the pronoun referring to? Oto. To the boel. So say so. Listen. I mean, after all, the very next line says, Kedekani Seifa, Kishem Shasur leba'al, Kachasura leboel. So apparently you can spell out Boel. No. The Mishnah is trying to keep the language the same. Don't you understand? If you say the Mayim is Bodek her, so then you say the Mayim is Bodek him. If you say the Mayim is Bodek the Baal, then you say the Mayim is also Bodek the Boel. The language is so beautiful. If you're using the pronoun to refer to her, then you're using the pronoun to refer to the Boel as with a pronoun, oto. If you're spelling out the word Baal, so then you spell out the word Boel. That makes sense. Okay. Anyway, the raya that we have that this is true is because it says two times in the Torah the word uva'u. Now, actually, it says it more than that, but we're going to darshan that later. But right now, the Mishnah simply said, uva'u, uva'u. So now the question is, did you mean to say that it's the repetition of the word ba'u and the double use is the meaning, ba'al v'bo'el? Or did you mean to say, one of the times that it mentions ba'u, it also says uvo? I mean, all three times it says uvo, but again, we'll worry about that later. But what you were really trying to say is ba'u, uva'u, meaning, it could have just said bo amayim, and instead it says uvo. So it's the extra vav that we're darshaning over here, not the repetition. So that's the question. Bo'u ubo'u kama, o ubo'u ubo'u. We're just saying the repetition of the word, which is really two times it says uvo. Ah, that we can learn from the continuation of the Mishnah, because it also says, Kishem sha'asura laba'al, kach asura labo'el. And there it gives the reason, Shinemar nitma'a v'nitma'a. So you see very clearly that we are darshaning the vav of v'nitma'a. That's the classic way. When you want to darsh a vav, you say first the word without the vav, and then you say the word with the vav to show that the vav is extra, right? So that's what it means over here. What are you talking about? It's the same question. The problem with the v'nitma'a is that in one of the cases, the pasuk says v'nitma'a, and in another one of the psukim, it says nitma'a. So you can't, how do you know that whether you're talking about the extra vav or whether you're talking about the two examples? It says v'nitma'a in one pasuk, and it says nitma'a in another pasuk. So over there would also not be derish the vav. It would simply be repeating the nitma'a. So you can't prove anything. It sounded good, but it don't prove a darn thing. Tashma. Miniktani Seifa. And says the Gemara, I can prove it to you. Listen, read the next words. Okay. Rebbe says to Rebbe Akiva, no, that's not the reason. It's because Shnei Pa'amim Ha'amuim B'parasha. Now, that this v'nitma'a is a mistake. It does not say v'nitma'a twice. And so the Enochinami, the Rashash is attacking the Girsa. So Shnei Pa'amim Amurim B'Parsha Nitma'a V'Nitma'a, which is, of course, exactly the way it appears in the Mishnah. So that comes to tell me the double Nitma'a tells me Echad L'Baal V'Echad L'Boel. But, I mean, isn't that what Rabbi Akiva said? Exactly those two words? But that's the point. Rabbi Akiva was darshaning it from the Vavim. And Rebbe is coming to say, no, it's the fact that it says the word twice. In which case, if we're talking about Bo'u, it's the same drasha. Rebbe Akiva is darshaning the Vavim. So therefore, it's Bo'u, Uva'u, not the repetition of Uva'u, Uva'u. There we go. So therefore, let's take a look now at the total picture over here, okay? Because the truth is it mentions the word Uva'u three times. That means, according to Rabbi Akiva, bunch of chickens here today. Sakakol, six people with pictures. Absolutely maddening. Gosh. Okay. There we go. Seven people. Ay, vey. Okay, go ahead. You, there we go. All right. So what this means is if we've got three times uvos, that means according to Rabbi Akiva, we have six droshas that we have to account for. Three bo'us and an additional three vavs in those bo'us. We have a total of six droshas. What are they all for heaven's sakes? Hilkach. The Rabbi Akiva, Shita Kroiksiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, we've got six different psukim. What are they for? Okay. So chad is latzava'a dida, v'chad latzava'a didei. Basically, what we need is each one of them, according to Rabbi Akiva, is telling us the same thing for her that it says for us. So, for him. So therefore, one is to tell me that there is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually telling the water what to do. So this is, the Pasuk is saying, the Uvo HaMayima Ma'orim Alalu. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually goes there at this moment. This water should go into her and do that. But it mentions the Vav to tell me that it will also do the same thing to the Bo'el at that point. So that accounts for one of the twin drushes. Then we've got another uvo, and the other one is coming to tell me, according to Rabbi Akiva, that it's a asiya dida, v'chad la'asiya didei. So that is v'hishka et hamayim, that is that the Kohen should do it. And that hishka et hamayim v'hayta im nitma'a, that is now saying that when the Kohen does that asiya to her, it will also be vaya im nitma'a, that it would be bodeg him. And then the third one is coming to tell me, the third pair is coming to tell me, that there's also a yediyah dida, v'chad liyediyah didei. What is the yediyah that we're referring to over here? Well, remember that we've got a contradiction in the pasuk, because it says, and at one point it says in the pasuk, that this mayim is going to be coming, and it's going to be lanpil yarech and latzbot batan. And then it says, uvo amayim b'me'ayich litzbot batan v'lanpil yarech, which is the other way around. Well, which way is it? So the Torah, because remember that the whole inyan that we had of the Saita was so fundamentally teaching us the inyanim of mida keneged mida, correct? And it's really, as we're going to see, this is one of the main issues of Saita, teaching us the anhaga of Midas Hadin and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response. So therefore, it needed to say, in terms of the Mida Kenegan Mida, it actually needed to say that in the same way that when she starts up with this guy, so her lover, we're not talking about penetration right at the beginning, right? We're talking about, you know, they're close to each other. She's got her thighs over him and so on. So that is first lanpil yarech. Then penetration is the litzbot batan, right? You want to penetrate her, so blow her up. Exactly. That's what's going to happen to her with the mayim. That's the mida keneged mida. But in reality, it's not what happens. Because as we said before, the mayim derech knisatam are going to be baidek. So that means that we need to know that in reality, first there's going to be a latzbot baten, and then there's going to be a lanpil yarech. So that is true both of her and of the bo'el. So because of that, the Torah repeats it in order that we should understand that the theory of what's happening is one thing, but the reality of what's happening goes according to the physical penetration of the water into her body. So first it reaches beten, so then that means the beten will be affected first, not like the midas adin is koveya. Okay, so that gives us six usages of the uvos. And therefore, the Rebbe Akiva, Shita Kroi Ktivei, Chad Atzava Adidah, V'chad Atzava Adidah, Chad Asi Adidah, Chad Asi Adidah, Chad Yedi Adidah, V'chad Yedi Adidah. Now, what about according to Rebbe? Rebbe, who only darshans the actual word. He doesn't darshan the Vav. So he is left only with three. What are those three uses for? V'Rebbe, Tlata Kroi Ktivei. Chad litzavo, chad la'asiyah, v'chad liyediyah. Okay, Rebbe agrees, but he just doesn't have the ribui for the bo'el. So he says, yes, there certainly are these concepts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzavah, the mayim, that they should go in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzava the kayin that he should do this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is modia us that the real thing that's going to happen is first beten and then yarech. But that's referring to her. He doesn't use these psukim to refer to the Baal at all. Okay, so then how does Rebbe know in that case for Rebbe, Kishem Shemayim Bodkim Ota, Kach Bodkim Ota, Minale? So how does he apply all of this from her to him, since he doesn't have that extra vav to be Doresh? Ah, that he learns, Nafkarei Minitanya. It's the Braita that says that we find in the Pasuk a lashon of Lats bot baten velab pil yaret, right? Which says, Uvo ha-maim ha-ma-orim ha-ele b'me'ayich, lats bot baten velab pil yaret. That's where it says, va'amra ha-isha amin amin. That's sort of generic, you know? I mean, it doesn't say, this water is going to blow up your tummy. It says, this water blows up tummies. So whose tummy are we referring to if we're not referring to her? Ah, that's the point. This water blows up tummies, which means that that boil better get out of the way because he's in line for the next shot. And so therefore, the Torah says it in this lashon. That's how we know that it affects the boil the same way that it affects her. That's the point. Bitnov yirecho shel boel. How do you get that? Atomer bitnov yirecho shel boel, oenu elo bitnav yirecha shel anivelet. No. The Pasuk said beferish v'tzavta bitnav v'nafla yirecha. That we know. Hare bitnav yirecha shel anivelet amur. Ama ani mekayem latzbot bot, and in general, this is a tummy buster. V'lan pil yarech, that must be referring to bitnav yirecha shel aboel. Ah, interesting. So according to Rabbi Akiva, what does he do with this interesting Pasuk that seems to be adding an additional tummy busting application to this phone? And according to him, we already knew that from the extra vavs. What does he do with this diuk? Ah, says Rabbi Akiva, that is coming to tell me that the kohen has to be modiah her, the beten bereishav adar yarech shelo lotzilas alamayim amarim. That it's not just that the pasuk told us this fact before, but that the kohen, when he's actually describing to her what's going to happen, he makes a clear-cut announcement. By the way that the water is going to be bedek is dafke bederech nisatan, which means that it's going to be impacting the beten first, because otherwise people may say, hey, wait a minute, that's not what you said was going to happen. So he has to talk that out. That's a chiddush. Wait, so if that's the case, so then, where does Rebbe know that? Rebbe knows that because im kein lichtov kra bitna v'yarecha, my beten v'yarech. We learned that we could have said that without saying that this is a general tummy buster. So the reason that it puts it that way is to tell me that it's the boel. Yeah, but once you need it for the boel, Rebbe, then maybe that's the whole point. I mean, you can't use it to say, and you have to inform her of that. Why? Maybe it's just coming to tell me that this is a Boel's tummy buster. Maybe no, because in Kain Lichtov Krabit Novirecho, why don't you come right out and say it? Why don't you come out and say this is going to kill the Boel also? When you talk about a general idea of Beten Viarech, so that's the point. It's stressing that Beten Viarech as particular parts of the body, that's the idea. It's not just saying it's a tummy buster, it's saying that the beten comes first and the yarech comes after. Let's not talk about the people. Let's talk about the tummy. That's what it's saying. So in other words, you need to know the order in which the mayim is going to work also. Beautiful information density, Alibet Rebbe, in which every last aspect sensitively teaches us a new halacha. And okay, and Rebbe Yehoshua says, yep, kachaya doresh, zechaya ben hakatzav, and so on and so forth. Now, again, this is another one of these misleading things, because what we're about to say has nothing to do with Zechariah ben HaKatzav. We're about to be Doresh all of the mentions of Nitma'a. So I must tell you, there's a little bit of a misleading thing, because the truth is the word Nitma'a occurs 5 times in this story over here, throughout all of the circuit. We are only going to be Doresh 3 of those five times. And there's a very good reason for that, as Rashi explains, because what we want to do is not talk about the first pasuk in which it's mentioned, because the first pasuk is actually talking about a seita that is vadai. That's the thing. And we don't want to discuss that. That's, we're talking about specifically the idea of a nitma in terms of the sveikas. That's what we're reading, right? So let's not get confused. So we start off early on. We start off with the discussion of Isha that was actually nitma'a. That means that's coming to tell us that a seita actually is an iser lav v'shachaf ishota shichvat zera. That comes before we talk about the suffix. So v'shachaf ishota shichvat zera ne'elam einei isha v'nistra v'nitma'a v'hilo nitfasa. That pasuk we've discussed many times, and it's coming to tell us that the Yeshes Kohen would be asura, and so on and so forth. Okay, but then we go on after that pasuk, and we have four more usages of the word v'nitma, except that one of them is v'hilo nitma, you see. So we're not counting that case. We're only counting the three where it says that it's assuming that she was. So remember, these are the psukim in order. I mean, I'm not necessarily going to be derish them in order. But after that introductory pasuk of v'hilo nitfasa, then we start talking about kinui. So we say, v'avar alav ruach kina v'kineet ishto v'hi nitma. Now, that pasuk itself is weird, right? I mean, what do you mean? Avar lav ruach kina v'hi nitma? What do you mean? You know she was nitma, so why are you bringing her to the water? And you found out that she was hilo nitma. So again, why are you bringing her to the water? I don't understand. Yes or no? So that pasuk is going to turn out to be very critical in the deeper understanding of the implications of Saita later on in the daf. Well, we don't start with that drasha, and we're going to actually get back to it. Then the pasuk after that, way, in other words, after we talk about the whole, all of the dinim, then it says, finally, this is 13 psukim later, v'hishka tamayim v'hayta im nitma'a v'timomau b'isha, Uvova hamayim hamaorim lamorim, and so on. And that's where it says, v'tzavta bitna, which the Gemara just utilized to tell me, we already know tzavta bitna, and we already know nafla yurecha, right? Excellent. Then, after that, two psukim after that, we have the general summary of zot torata kinaot, asher tiste isha tachat isha, v'nitma'a. Okay, so we're darshaning three of the five words nitma'a, not lo nitma'a, and not the first pasuk, which talks about that she was nitma'a vada. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at each one of those and dorish the three types. So shalosh pa'amim ha'amurim b'parasha, im nitma'a, nitma'a, v'nitma'a. Those are the three mentions. Why do we need three times? Echad lebal, echad leboel, v'echad lechuma. So we already saw in the Mishnah. The echad lebal, v'echad leboel, we already know. We have one additional limud, which is that in the event that this woman had been eating truma, so either she was a Yisraeli, she's married to a Kohen, or she's a Bas Kohen, so she's allowed to eat truma. But since the Torah calls her nitma'a, the moment that she was over on his kinoi, at that moment, she becomes Asura for Achilas Truma. So says Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Yishmael responds to Rabbi Akiva in a way that makes absolutely no sense. Rabbi Yishmael says, well, what do you need a pasuk for? It's a Kal V'chomer. If a Grusha is Muteret to eat Truma, because here's the case. The case is you have a Bat Kohen. She goes in and she marries an Izar. She marries a Yisrael. What's the din? Just stop eating truma. And then the pasuk says that if she was nitgarsha, or she was nitalmala, she goes back to eating the truma bebeit avia, kinu'ureha. But I thought if she's a divorcee, she's not allowed to for the kohen. Yeah, you're right. She's not allowed for the kohen, but she's still perfectly okay to eat truma. So what do you see? That someone who continues to eat truma could still be asura to marry a kohen. So, I mean, look over here, if she's asura b'truma, because we already have the pasuk that says that she's not allowed to eat truma, so eino din she'asur l'kahuna, why do you need a pasuk? So for sure she's asur. Okay. It's a little weird, because Rabbi Akiva never said a word about the question of whether she's allowed to marry the Kohen. So what in the world is Rabbi Yishmael coming back and saying, you don't need a pasuk to tell her she can't marry a Kohen? Huh? What are you talking about? Okay, the Gemara is going to ask that, because it seems to be they're talking past each other. Now, getting back to that original Vihi Nitma'a or Vihi Lo Nitma'a, which is a crazy pasuk. What do you mean? He's giving her Vihi Nitma'a or he's giving her Vihi Lo Nitma'a, this kinui. What does that mean? Mata medlomar vihi nitma'a, vihi lo nitma'a. Don't understand. Do we know or do we not know? I mean, im nitma'a, if you're telling me he knows that she was nitma'a, why is he bringing her to drink? Lama shota. You're telling me that vihi lo nitma'a. So then why is he bringing her to drink? I don't get this. Im lo nitma'a, lama mashka. Ah, the point over here is that the pasuk wants to make very clear, we have no idea. In other words, it's equally possible that he nitma'a as it is that he lo nitma'a. And therefore, you must understand that I, the Torah speaking, I am telling you that the moment that this takes place, she is asura. Whether she was nitma'a or she wasn't nitma'a in reality, that's not the point. The point is that the suffix of he nitma'a or he lo nitma'a is a definite iser of saita in which all of this is as if we already know. Now, why is this so important? Because in setting up the pasuk in this way, it's telling us that I am giving you a model for how to understand dealing with sfeikot that are similar to tum'ah. We're calling this entire story a tuma question. Either she was nitma'a or she was not nitma'a. And we don't know. This is the basis of an astounding halacha. Namely, mikana tadan l'sheretz. This teaches us that if you have a suffix, if you touched a sheretz, or if the thing that you were holding in your hand had come into contact with the sheretz, then you have to learn the din from sota. As follows. If a sota shalosap shogei kemezid, va'onis kiratzon. Listen, think about this. When it comes to the question of adultery over here, obviously the Torah is, it says beferish, vehi lo nitfas. In other words, we are not saying that the issue of a woman is that she is either lamaisa nitma'a or lamaisa not nitma'a, right? Because she might have been nitma'a, maybe she was raped. Or she might be nitma'a, maybe she made a mistake and she thought that another guy in the night was her husband and it wasn't. The din is that when it comes to the issue of adultery, obviously the Torah does not say that shogeg is the equivalent of mezid, and it does not say that a rape is the equivalent of a willing relationship. It's the whole halacha only applies in the case where this woman actually knew that she was sleeping with somebody else and she did this for tzona. And nonetheless, we reduce it to the question of a suffix. And if it's a suffix, we treat it as if it's a vadai, also ba suffix ke vadai. So now when it comes to tuma sheretz, it really doesn't matter whether you wanted to touch the sheretz or you didn't want to touch the sheretz, or whether the kid is running after you and saying, ha ha, touching you with the and he touches you with the sheretz, so you're an onesh, so there's nothing. It's exactly the same, because that question of that type of tuma is just, it's either you did touch or you didn't touch, okay? So imagine if the Torah says that even in the case of a sota, where it isn't a function of what happened, but it also involves your involvement in what happened. And nonetheless, the Torah was ready to say, we're going to make a suffix like a vadai. My God, I mean, there's so many other issues. But did she mean it? Was she raped? Did she know? And so on and so forth. Afapike. We're going to make a suffix kivadai. All right? So a sheretz, where none of that is relevant. I don't care if it's a shogeg, a mezid, an ones, a ratzon. She also a shogeg, a mezid, va'ones, kiratzon. So then for sure, if you have any doubts about whether you came in contact with that sheretz, pow, it's already the same as if you already vadai came in contact with that sheretz. And exactly the same way that the Torah was ready to make the sota tmeah, so to speak. Now, take the next important steps of what's implied here. Umimakom shabata. Now, you have to utilize the source. Your source over here is sota, okay? So fine. The sota, by definition, is only going to be defined as a vadai tame in a case where she was alone with the guy. Being alone with the guy means that it's a reshut hayachid in these terms, of being alone. So just like the sota is only considered to be tame if it's a reshut hayachid, so af sheretz reshut hayachid. The same thing would be true, therefore, of the suffik tuma that we're talking about that the Torah is going to tell you is a vadai. That's only if it's a reshut hayachid. Furthermore, a sota is actually an interrogatable case. She's got a brain. You can ask her, did you sleep with this guy or did you not sleep with this guy? The same thing has to be true of the tuma sheretz. There has to be a brain that's involved, not just an event. So therefore, if a person is doubtful about whether he touched the sheretz, you can ask him, well, did you touch the sheretz or did you not touch the sheretz? Because there's a brain. For that matter, if this guy is holding a dish, and you ask him, did the dish that you're holding come in contact with the sheretz or did it not? Or did you touch the sheretz to the dish or did you not? Whatever the case is, as long as there's a brain involved, that's fine. But what about if there is no brain involved? So what about if the event comes along with a non-interrogatable brain? So we've got a mouse that's carrying a dead sheretz, and we don't know whether the mouse came into contact with the kli or not. We tried discussing this with the mouse and got very, very inappropriate responses. I won't even tell you what he said. So in that case, there's no din of a suffik tuma at all, that it should be tummy. So therefore, ma'asota davar sheyesh bo da'at lishael. So too, afsheretz davar sheyesh bo da'at lishael. Now this is the source, says the Gemara, of the famous halacha. Mikan amru, a davar sheyesh bo da'at lishael, and it's also in a rishus hayachid. Then it follows the model of a seita, and if you have a suffix about it, then it then is sveiko tamei. But Bershut HaRabim, none of this would apply, and we would say the same thing we say about the Sota. No problem, because she wasn't in Steret, and therefore Sveko Tahor. V'she'ein bo dat lishael, then Bein Bershut HaYachi, Bein Bershut HaRabim, if you don't have both of the issues that we learn out from the Sota, then the Torah never gave this special halacha to be machmir in the case of the Sofek. Okay, now this is a very complex sugya. First of all, the question is, we're not talking about Tuma over here at all. We're talking about a suffix isser. How the heck did this have to do with Tuma? And furthermore, does this imply that in the absence of a special din in the Torah, that the suffix is usser, that automatically the suffix is mutter? That's what the Gemara seems to imply. And indeed, by the way, the Rambam paskins that way, that every suffik iser, even midiraisa, is mutter, and that the whole halacha of suffik diraisa being usser is a derabbanan. Midirabbanan, a suffik diraisa is usser, and a suffik derabbanan is mutter. But midiraisa, even a suffik diraisa, is mutter. And indeed, we predicate everything on seita, which is a unique Rambam shita. But then there's another problem. What are we making a kal v'chomer? Didn't we say from the beginning of the Masech that sota is a special case because of the fact that raglayim ladavar? We made such a big fuss about that. And now we're ready to say, and therefore we can compare it to every case in the Torah where we have a suffix. where all of a sudden we're going to learn out suffix tuma from a suffix iser, and we're going to make a kal v'chomer, which makes absolutely no sense because it's not a kal v'chomer. I mean, this is absolutely crazy. And indeed, Tosfos asks, well, what about raglayim ledover? How can you really make a kal v'chomer? So the Rush speaks out Beferish along with other Rishonim. This isn't meant to be a real kal v'chomer. There's lots of questions on it besides the issue of raglayim ledover. You could say that there's a big difference. A tumas seita, there's no way for her to become tahar. Mashenkein, suffik tuma, there's a way to become tahar from. And he lists other kashas that shows that this isn't serious. Of course, we don't mean it as a serious kal v'chomer. The whole thing is halacha l'moshe miSinai, and we're like sort of being masmichid on a kal v'chomer to make it seem reasonable. But the idea that sota should serve as a model for suffik tuma, where there's no tuma involved b'chlal, the whole thing is halacha l'moshe miSinai, and it's possible, suggests some of the Rishonim, that maybe it isn't necessarily halacha l'moshe miSinai. Maybe we learn it out from the fact that the Torah strangely uses a lashon tuma for a seita, which is not a suffix tuma at all. Tosfos seems to imply that it's a real kal v'chomer. That's why he asks the raglayim ledover, and he answers in the raglayim ledover. And he considers the raglayim ledover to be the equivalent of a suffix maga. Because if you don't have raglayim ledover, then you don't have a suffix at all. Because misfeika we lo marzikina nisura. There's got to be something that we need to define is the issue. So the raglayim ledover of the seita is nothing but the equivalent of the occurrence of the suffix tuma of maga sheretz. We have a certain reyesa that forces us to consider the question of maybe there's really tuma. In the case of the sota, she was alone. In the case of the sheretz, there was a mouse that had walked right by there. That's the same thing. The Rashba has a different approach, and he learns that the truth is the raglayim ledover is irrelevant other than seita, meaning that basically the halacha over here is that a suffix tuma the Torah considers to be tuma with or without raglayim ledover. The only reason that by seita we make such a fuss about the raglayim ledover is because the sota herself is claiming her innocence. So where you have a Tainas Bori that she's Tahora, we should listen to the Tainas Bori in terms of the Dinamis Fekas Tuma. In order to counteract her Tainas Bori, the Raglayim Ledover is simply telling us, don't accept what she's saying. Of course, in the case where the mouse was telling you something, we don't have any issues of needing a Raglayim Ledover. That's the whole point. Now, Halacha L'maaseh, which comes up in other issues, we're going to see soon, the question of whether this really is a suffix tuma. I mean, look, I mean, the way the Shav Shmaitza learns the whole sugya and so on is that this is not at all suffix tuma. It's entirely a suffix iser, and that the Torah is only comparing the dinim of tuma with the word stomach. And we're going to see in a moment why that is a possible important issue. But first, let's take a look at the next piece of the Gemara. This is one of the really central dapim in Shas about this very, very central question about the overall dinim of Sveikas, whether it's Sveikas Yisr or Sveikas Tuma, and this magical halacha of the difference between Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim in terms of Sveikas. So let's just first take a look at the rest of the daf, then we'll get back to pointing out the other issues that are nogea here. Now, as we spoke about before, Rabbi Yishmael tells Rabbi Akiva, I don't understand what you need a pasuk for. It's an obvious kal v'chomer that she can't marry a kohen. Rabbi Akiva never said one word about marrying a kohen. So Rabbi Yishmael is basically, I mean, he's gaslighting us over here. We never heard anything about a kohen. So what's going on? Rabbi Yishmael, I understand. Rabbi Akiva is talking about Truma. Amar Rabbi Akiva Truma. And now Rabbi Shmuel comes along and he starts talking about the kahuna. And nobody ever talked about kahuna. Not to mention the fact that, I mean, do we know where Rabbi Akiva knows that a Saita is not allowed to marry into the kuhuna? I mean, that Rabbi Yishmael would be addressing it. Where does he know it from? Rabbi Akiva, how do we know that a Saita is asura to marry the kuhuna? Now, maybe you'll tell me, well, what do you mean? I mean, obviously, I don't need a pasuk to say that she can't marry a kohen. The Torah says that she is a zayna. She has to get divorced from her husband. Well, we know that a kohen is not allowed to marry a zayna. It says beferish. So why do we need, since we said this includes a sota, because the Torah made the suffix kivadai, and she's definitely asura lebala. So then that means that the Torah said, I hereby dub thee a zona. So why do I need a separate pasuk for? That's not possible. Because if that's true, then why did we need an extra pasuk to tell me that she's not allowed to eat truma? Truma nami lo tiboy kra. And we used one of the extra psukim. Echad le truma. We said, echad la, echad la ba, echad la ba, echad la ba, echad la truma. But truma also. If she's a sota and she's a vada zona, then a zona is a sura, not only for marrying a kohen, but ubat kohen ki tiel izar hibe trumat hakadoshim lo tochel. If she has any type of illicit relationship, she can't eat truma. So then we already know it. So that doesn't follow either. So that can't be where Rabbi Akiva knows it from. Now, of course, this raises the question, why not? I don't understand. Do we consider her to be a vada zona or not? Didn't we say she's a zona, her husband, and her husband's not allowed to sleep with her? And it's the same din as a marzer grushasai, that she achrei asher hutama, and so on. Why does Rabbi Akiva need a pasuk to tell us that she's asur betruma? Of course, she's a vaday asura. So what you have to say over here is something that's very important. There's a lot of places where there's Reb Chaim al Hashas keeps bringing up this yesod. And that yesod is that the idea of a suffix kivadai in Saita does not mean that the Torah says that she was vadai mizana. Obviously, how can the Torah say that she was vadai mizana? That's not what it's telling you. The Torah created a new iser. This iser is called isur sota. That new iser is an iser vis-a-vis sleeping with her husband. That new iser is an iser vis-a-vis her ever marrying in the event of the death of the husband or a divorce. Her ever marrying the Boel. Fine. But the question is, where do I apply that halacha? That halacha is a chiddush hakra. If I wouldn't have a pasuk to tell me specifically, and this din of zona to the husband applies also to truma from the extra uvo, and this din of zona applies also to yisurei kuhuna, which is where we're trying to learn it out from, which is what Rabbi Yishmael is bringing the Kal Vachomer for. Now, it's here that what we spoke about, I mentioned to the Shev Shmaitza, that this is not a din in Tuma at all. It's a din of Suffolk Isser. So therefore, utilizing the concept of her becoming Nitma'a to Isser, we never saw it anywhere. So the Torah says that, yes, we deal with this as a vadai in terms of this particular iser. The shame of zona, where does it say that we give her a shame of zona? That's why it calls it tuma. It doesn't call it iser in order to make it clear that unless we apply it to a specific iser, such as isurei chitun vis-a-vis the kuhuna, or isurei achilef truma, why in the world would I think that applies? It's slightly different than the way that Reb Chaim Brisker put it, but the idea is clear, that this is a special and new halacha. So therefore, the idea must be that we're talking about completely different bases to these Isurim. As to what that is, Aliba de Rabbi Akiva, that we will see tomorrow. But at least we begin to understand the communication over here between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, that is excellent. I think we have to give a mazel tov over here also to Ari, or otherwise known as Calvin. And what is the mazel tov? His daughter Ella just made it through to the championship of Chidon HaTanach in the Gola. And of course, that is today's big deal, because this afternoon is going to be the big moment. So tune in, everybody. Make sure you tune in to the Chidon HaTanach HaOlami, which includes all of the competition from across the globe, including Joburg. And we're assuming that Ari's going to be making it here by his magic Calvin type. I mean, you wouldn't miss it for the world, right?
I'm around the corner from the Beit HaNasi, Rebbe. I'm here.
You're kidding. You did it already? Just in these past 5 minutes?
This morning, first thing.
That's brilliant. Okay, so you're in my neighborhood. That's where I live.
No, that's next week. Next week I'll be in Rebbe's neighborhood.
That's my current neighborhood. I've got lots of neighborhoods. Okay, beautiful. Wonderful. All right, then. So, everybody, we'll see you all on the, I guess it isn't really Zoom, but it is on the internet, so you can watch this whole thing today. And it's usually very, very entertaining and very, very sweet. That's the main thing. It's usually very sweet. Shouldn't
Rebbe?
Do I hear the sound of Tnufa? The sound of Tnufa. Yes.
First of all, we wish a lot of Hatzlacha. Last year, a girl missed winning because she didn't know that David and Goliath fought in Emek Ha'ilah. So she lost 6 points, and that's what cost her the competition.
Oh, my gosh.
And I helped the foremans. Whatever she was competing, Avi Gaio.
Wouldn't you know that the Chidon HaTanach HaOlami is Barnea's neighbor?
And Nachliel's. And Nachliel's. Nachliel gave tours in the Met for the contestants.
And this is not a paid political announcement, by the way.
And I helped the foremans, because if you go to the places, then you never forget it. But we wish you a lot of Hatzlacha. But Rebbe, some people want to celebrate the independence.
I don't understand why Madison Avenue is called Madison Avenue and not Barnea's neighborhood. It's totally, totally wrong.
David Solomon just sat in the Daf Yomi neighborhood Ground Zero in Lublin, right? That was amazing.
So, no. Trying to change the narrative over here is not going to help you, Barnea.
Some people are happy to celebrate the independence of Israel, Kachol Hagayim. But that's not our line. So what should our reaction be to today?
Who is we, Kimosabi?
People who are conscious serving Hashem, and both those who are zocha to live in Eretz Yisrael and those who are not. Hey, ER, considering the events, what is a healthy reaction? I'm not asking Rebbe to paskin on whether to say hallelujah with the
healthy Bible. Reaction is to say that if after so many centuries, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Marzir, the Shilton of Yisrael, back to Yisrael and freed us from the Ol HaGoyim, so that we're on the same darga that we were when things were horrible, but we were still not yet in Galut, that is an amazing, incredible event of such massive implications that to ignore it is to be an ostrich in the most vicious way, not to respond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's teva. On the other hand, not to realize that even at the moment of the second of the Beis HaMikdash, there were so many tears and so much crying of misery that this is all that we get when we're so close and yet so far, that each person has to recognize that there's a tremendous balance in terms of his emotional response. That, as it says in Ezra, that was according to the different people. There were people who were older and had seen more, and they remembered the time of the Beis HaMikdash in its glory, and they were more devastated than happy. And others who weren't aware of that, they were more happy than devastated. And that's the derech at the time, and therefore it should be the derech of our time as well. And therefore, I ask you, who's we, Kimasabi? That's the point. There's different people. Different people have a right to different reactions. But having no reactions is not being people. That's being dead. Chas v'shalom. Okay, Rabbosai, may we be zeicha to geula shlema mehira without any hesitations at all on any level of our simcha to see Yeshua Hashem keheref ayin ibud oyvenu mamish instantly, like we saw at the Yam Suf, and Be'ezras Hashem ki mei tzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim tar'enu niflaot.